What's cracking? We start hour number two. And that's how I like that first hour, man. Smooth and easy. Lots of me, none of you, and a great guest. That's an easy hour. And I expect more of the same this hour. We start the second hour. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage, of course, is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. You can see rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. We start hour number two. If you're on hold, I will get your phone calls in. I promise. But we start hour number two by talking to somebody who played 7 years in the NFL. He is an NFL analyst. He is host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He represents, among others, Westwood One and CBS Sports Network. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. He is a very good friend of the program. And my favorite thing about Ross, man, he is always somewhere doing something, but you never know exactly what it is. So I'm going to find out right now. Ross, my brother, what's going on? How you doing, Ross? Where are you and what are you doing right now besides talking to us?
Hey, Jim, always good to talk with you. I am in God's country, my man. I am in north central Pennsylvania. I live down in Harrisburg, Hershey, the state capital, but I'm doing Bills Ravens tomorrow night for Westwood One, and I've got to get a COVID test, and the COVID test has to be in New York State. So I am driving straight north. There's not a human being within, like, 50 miles of me right now, dude. It is rural God's country of Pennsylvania on my way up to New York State, up to Buffalo.
Oh, man, that is amazing. I am so glad I asked. Ross Tucker is joining us. That is tremendous. All right, so you mentioned Ravens-Bills. Why don't we start right there? As a former Bill, Ross, how fired up are you for that matchup?
Well, I'm incredibly excited. I mean, you think about the fact that last week was 1995. I was 210 pounds, draining threes and winging at the cheerleaders playing high school hoops. Okay? And in 1995, there was no such thing as the Baltimore Ravens. None. Like, the Baltimore Ravens didn't even exist the last time the Bills won a playoff game. So it's crazy. I'm thrilled for those people. I'm so glad they got Josh Allen. I'm so glad they have this good of a team. But I'd be lying if I didn't tell you I'm not pretty nervous about tomorrow night. I think the Ravens are playing as well as any team in football. I think the Bills are going to have to play better than they did against the Colts, that's for sure.
I think you're right. Ross Tucker is joining us. I think you've got every reason to be nervous, and I think what they did last week might have been enough to get them here, but it won't be enough to have them advance. Let me ask you this. You know how much the Ravens like their secondary, Ross, and because of that confidence, you know Wink Martindale loves to bring the pressure. Patrick Mahomes has made them pay for that in the past. How do you think that Josh Allen is going to deal with that pressure?
It's such a good call, Jim. Such a good observation. That really is the biggest key to this game. Because, first of all, the Bills are going to – Josh Allen has to play unbelievable. I mean, last week, he's the first guy with over 300 yards passing, 50 yards rushing, and 70% completion percentage in a playoff game ever, and they still probably should have lost, right? I mean, Frank Reich and some of the decisions he made – so Allen played incredible, and they still could have lost. That is the Bills' chance in this game, I think, is that Martindale gets aggressive. He brings a lot of pressure. I know they like their corners, but we've seen it. They can be beat. They can be beat with double moves. They're aggressive. We know that Peters likes to jump underneath routes. Marlon Humphrey's very aggressive, trying to punch the ball out rather than making tackles. I really think that is the Bills' best chance to win. And that's, in my mind, one of the only ways the Ravens lose the game is if they blitz so much that they allow the Bills to get some big plays.
Ross Tucker is joining us. He will be all over that game. He played 7 years in the NFL. Ross, so let me ask you about the Browns. Almost nobody gave them a chance last Sunday against Pittsburgh. They show up, they dominate the Steelers. Now they have to go to Kansas City, though, and deal with Patrick Mahomes and company. You know, of course, there's that notion, Ross, that if you're going to beat Kansas City, you run the ball, you keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands, you keep him on the sidelines. We know the Browns love to run, and they can do it. How well does this game set up for Cleveland?
I think very well, and I think that's exactly what they should do. It's interesting. My buddy Greg Cosell on the Raw Sucker podcast yesterday, though, he kind of feels like that's a myth. I disagree with him. He said, look, you got to score 30 points. So you got to do whatever it takes to score 30 points. Hmm. If that means Baker's throwing the ball on first down and play action a lot, then that's what you got to do. I just love the Browns O-line. I don't think Conklin's going to play, which really hurts. But I think if Conklin was in there, I think they got the best O-line in the NFL. And with Chubb and Hunt, I think they could pound the Chiefs into submission. You know what I don't understand at all? I don't understand the betting line for this game. I mean,
10
points?
10.
Nobody has explained that to me. I mean, the Chiefs have seven straight games, where they won by 6 points or less. Now, they won. That's all that matters. But when you look at those seven straight games, all those games, Atlanta and Carolina and blah, 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 and then you look at how Cleveland's playing, how in the world are you giving the Browns 10 points? I don't understand it. I mentioned on the Even Money podcast, maybe I'll be wrong, and maybe the Chiefs will blow them out, but I don't know how you can watch these teams play over the last 2 months and think that that's going to happen. I love the Browns and the points. I think, look, I would be surprised if they won, Jim, but I wouldn't be shocked at all. Like, it wouldn't be like, if you had me on Monday's show and the Browns won, I wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, Jim, it's one of the biggest upsets. I'd be like, okay, yeah, the Chiefs hadn't been playing that great and the Browns ran the ball over him. It wouldn't be that shocking to me.
Hey, Ross, I'm going to be straight about this. Like, I look at those games, and I look at the matchups against the spread, and I think it's a wild weekend and a tough weekend and a hard weekend. I hammered that. I hammered Browns plus 10. How about you?
Yep, I love Browns plus 10. I like the Bucks getting 3. I actually told people on Even Money, you know, I like the Bucks and the Ravens on the money line. You know, whether they're getting 3 or 2.5, depending on where you're looking, I think the Ravens are going to beat the Buffalo Bills, as much as it pains me to say as a former Bill. I think Tom Brady and the Bucks are going to beat the Saints. So you can either take the points or you can just take them on the money line and pick them to win the game like I'm doing.
So what about that? Ross Tucker is joining us. You mentioned the Bucks and the Saints. I mean, Ross, it seems pretty hard to imagine that Brady and company, especially given the weapons he has, would lose to anybody, even a team as good as the Saints, 3 times in 1 year. But I'd also argue that in those first 2 losses, they're not the same team that they are this week. How does Brady look to you right now in terms of physical performance and his comfort in that offense? What do you like about them this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not stumping for his business, Jim, because I don't even know what the TB12 method is. But based on how he's played over the last 2 months, we should all do it. I mean, I don't know what he eats. I don't know how he stretches. I know he has this method. I have no idea what it really is, but we should all be doing it.
Right.
Because, you know, Ben can barely throw. Breeze isn't the same. And somehow at 43... I mean, Brady's face even looks younger. I don't know how that happened. And he's throwing the ball as well as he ever has. TB12 was evidently the fountain of youth because the guy has been unbelievable. That's the biggest thing. I think he's a lot more comfortable with the receivers. I think he and Arians and Leftwich are on the same page on the offense now. And I just think he's playing as well as he has in a while. Certainly way better than he was when they played the Saints earlier. The Saints dominated up front, their D-line against the Bucs O-line, and their corners, Janoris Jenkins and Marshawn Lattimore, they ate up the Bucs receivers in that game. That's the path to victory for the Saints. They need to do that again. I don't think they get it done. I think the Bucs win. I believe Tom Brady loses 3 times to the same team when I see it with my own eyes. There's no chance I'm believing that. Hey, look, if it happens, wow, Saints, unbelievable, but I'm certainly not predicting it to happen.
Ross Tucker is joining us. Ross, I understand where you might have some concerns or even a question as to how this guy can make his face look better or younger. You clearly have not spent enough time in California. This is easy to do. Botox, I don't know. There's all sorts of injections that people get. Probably he did some of that. That's how you turn back the clock on your face, with the spike, with needles, with Botox.
I was hoping, Jim, it was just like some type of lotion, and then I could get him to tell me what the lotion was. Like, you know, I'm almost 42, and I do TV for CBS and stuff. I don't want to have wrinkles up. So I was hoping it was just like some lotion I could put on my face after I wake, after I take a shower in the morning. But you're thinking it's probably more than that?
Yeah, they have a name for that lotion. It's called Botox. Nivea, man. No, I see you working. Exactly right. There is something to it because the guy, he has not lost that much at all. Ross, what about the Rams and the Packers? Now, the Rams say that Jared Goff's going to be the starter against Green Bay. What's that mean to the Rams' offense? How do you think the Rams show up against the Packers?
You know, the Rams actually have a pretty decent formula to hang and maybe even beat the Packers. You know, most of McVay's run schemes and basically his offense, it's pretty much the same as Kyle Shanahan. You know, they were in Washington together. So you think about that, and we all, I mean, I was on the sideline last year for the NFC Championship game when the Niners and Raheem Mostert ran all over the Packers. I think that's exactly what the Rams try to do. I think it's Cam Akers. You talk about betting, take the over on the Cam Akers prop bet, because I don't think the Rams have a prayer unless Cam Akers is running wild on the Packers. I think they're going to give that kid the ball 25 times. They just need Goff to complete a couple of first-down bootlegs, a couple of first-down and third-down play action, and I think they have a real chance in this game. I really do. You know, Ramsey's been so good. They have the weirdest defense I've ever seen. They have two of the top five defensive players in the NFL in Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, and then a bunch of no-names for the most part. I mean, it's like the weirdest composition of a roster. I didn't think it would work, Jim, but it has. It's like pay two guys $20 million a year and then have a bunch of guys on the minimum and tell them what to do, and they'll ball. I mean, they've balled out. This D coordinator for the Rams, Brandon Staley, is a total stud, and I really do think the Rams have a chance. The issue is, I think it's a close game, and 0% chance I'm taking Jared Goff over Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau late in a close game. I'm not doing it.
0%. You know, Ross, you and I have been talking about the lines, and I'm going to be very careful how I ask you this question because, well, the world has changed dramatically. I mean, for years, I never, ever, ever mentioned the spread or a line on this show. For years and years and years, the thought was there would never be professional sports in Vegas for very obvious reasons. But, of course, the world has changed. Legislation has changed. And now betting is much more ready and available to people. And it's opened up completely. I set that up. I want to ask you this. When you played the game, Ross, when you played, were players cognizant of the spread? Did they ever talk about the spread? Did they know the number? Was it ever a topic of conversation among players?
Almost never. I never remember a player bringing it up. I remember once or twice a coach would bring it up if you were a heavy underdog. But that was it. That was it. I will tell you this story, though, Jim. My freshman year, I'm playing on the punt team and field goal team for Princeton with your buddy Kyle Brandt in the opener against Cornell. And for whatever reason, they always have lines on the Ivy League games.
Huh.
So I'll never forget, I'm 18 years old. It's my first college game. And during the week, my dad says, "Hey, Ross, if I give you the signal, let your guy block the punt."
Oh, wow. Dude.
He was obviously joking, Jim.
Right.
But it was kind of crazy to be 18 years old and to think, wait a minute, are people actually betting on what I'm about to do? Like, I was 18, man. I was on the punt team, but, like, theoretically, you know, somebody could have lost a lot of money or won a lot of money because I tripped or I missed my block. It was, you know, my dad was joking around, but even just him saying that kind of got in my head a little bit.
I was going to say,
like,
put it in your head. Right. Right.
Yeah.
So when you mentioned, Ross, for instance, that it never came up. It never came up except when a coach might mention it if we were big underdogs. I mean, do you guys respond to that? Would that motivate players and teams?
Yeah, it would, because you never really, like, that's why I tell people betting is so hard, right? Because I was on a bunch of teams where we were underdogs by a lot and we won, or we were favored by a lot and we lost. You'll never convince a player, right, that they're that much of an underdog. In other words, like the Browns, like, they probably think that that's absolutely laughable. Like, you know, you spend the whole, like, you get it that the Chiefs are the defending champs, right? And that you get that they're favored, but you spend the whole week with the coaches going over this plan. And, you know, they make the plan sound so good, right? Like, we're going to run the ball down their throat, blah, blah. We're going to play zone. Mahomes is going to have to be patient, throw it underneath. Like, I never went into a game thinking we weren't going to win. Like, I always thought we were going to win. So let alone a spread of 10 points, like, you always just think that that's laughable because you're so conditioned to believe you're going to win the game that to think that other team's that much better than you and gets that many points, you know, is able to give you that many points, you just think it's crazy, and it's absolutely offensive.
Now, and Russ, by the way, you're not the only former player to tell me this week that they saw that number and said, are you kidding me? 10? 10. 10. That's been like the universal response. You know, maybe they cover it, maybe they don't. He played 7 years in the NFL, but it's 10. It's 10. An NFL analyst, he's host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Westwood One, CBS Sports Network broadcaster. And one last thing, Ross, you've been great with your time, but I've got to ask you about this. I saw it on Twitter. Have you, in fact, announced a football game every single day of the week? And if you did that, are you the first person in the history of the world to do so?
Yes, it is called the Tucker Slam. And either right here on CBS Sports Network College or NFL games for Westwood One, I did one every day of the week. The funny part about that, Jim, is the only one I was missing was Friday. Because there, you know, there's very rarely Friday games. When my Westwood One producer said, do you want to do the Christmas game? And I saw it was Friday. I said, heck yes, I do. I wanted it. I wanted the Tucker Slam. By the way, Jim, I have no idea if anybody's ever done it before. I'm just claiming it. I'm just saying nobody's ever done it before. Because how would you? Like, how? I mean, I did NFL game Monday afternoon. I did NFL game Tuesday night. I did multiple college games on Wednesday in Maction. Like, there's just no way guys doing NFL on Monday and Tuesday and Sunday are also going to be doing Maction on Wednesday.
No chance.
It just would never happen. So, yes, I am the first person on planet Earth to ever do that. And if I'm not, please don't tell me because I'm going with it.
Oh, no. There's no and, if, or but. You don't need to qualify that. We don't need to look that up. I know for a fact. I know for a fact without knowing that you're the first and only to ever do that. So you should claim that. You should own that. And I would go with that as often as you could. He is a very good friend of the program. You want to make sure you follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, you crushed it like you always do, man. Have an amazing weekend. And it's great to have you back.
Absolutely, man. I got you on Channel 206 on Sirius. I've been listening the whole way. I love the hockey guy calling you Romy. I love that. Every hockey guy, that's all they do is just end a Y with your name. So I'll be listening all the way up to Buffalo, my man.
My man, Ross Tucker. That is the best. Ross Tucker, that is so much fun. He was talking about Kevin Weeks. That's the thing. They Romy me. You know, it's better than jerk. They Romy me, and it's a term of affection, endearment. The hockey guys love me, and I love hockey because we all love hockey.
I love when you talk hockey.
Bella loves when I talk hockey. Like I said, this is what you're going to get on this program. You're going to get really sharp interviews like that one. You're going to get really sharp takes, like pretty much everything that comes out of my mouth. And you're going to get some really bad phone calls. But then every once in a while, we'll mix in a good one. So let me open it up to you. We've had Ross Tucker. We've had Kevin Weeks. Kevin Weeks was a second-round draft pick. He played in the NHL. He was in the Stanley Cup Final. He's on NHL Network. We are wide open until 11:20. That's when I'm going to roll James Kelly in here. Big head bets. I know the flight deck was listening intently to what Ross had to say. Other things I want to get to. Pretty big of Tim Tebow to make the point that no, I'm not. I cannot join Herb in Jacksonville. That's great, Tim. Who asked?
Timothy.
Nobody. You know that dude's 34 now, right? And still trying to play baseball.
34.
So, I have thoughts on that. I want to talk more money. I have a money super block. Athletes who lose their money. There's a dude who is sitting on 7 bitcoins. 7. Or 7,000, I should say. 7,000, whatever. 7,000 bitcoins, all right? You might wonder, like, how did that dude accumulate 7,000? He bought them when they were like 30 cents each. Do the math. So when I came on the air this morning, Bitcoin was selling for like 37K per. This dude's sitting on 7,000. 7,000 times 37K is like 220 million. This dude is sitting on a quarter of a bill in Bitcoin. Here's the catch. He can't get to it because he can't get into his little virtual wallet. He can't get into the wallet because he can't remember the password. And the difference is, like in any other account where they say to you, forget password, we'll send to your email. They don't do that in crypto because there's a bunch of hackers that would be going through millions of different combinations to try to get into your wallet. So they only let you try it 10 times before they lock you out forever. Dude has tried 8 times. Yalvin, where did my music go? I'm not done. He's tried 8 times. Guy's sitting on 220 mil and is about to lose it. All of that is still ahead. Hit me up right now, 1-800-636-8686. Your phone call is ours straight ahead.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Again, going back to Ross, he said so many things that I loved during that interview. I love the fact that he said, Jim, I'm in God's country. No, really, I'm in the country. I can't see anybody anywhere. He was going to get his COVID test before he does tomorrow's game. In fact, this weekend, the NFL playoffs continue on CBS, the AFC, down to 4 teams. You've got the defending champs, the Chiefs. They are the team to beat. They are the defending champs. Who is going to take the next step on the road to Super Bowl 55? Find out this weekend when the AFC divisional round plays out on CBS. 10 points, man. That's pretty hard to believe. 1-800-636-8686. Who you got? Also, my other takeaway from that conversation with Ross. Ross said, yeah, man, I love it. I love it. I played for the Bills. I'm happy for them. I'm happy for their fans. But I'm nervous. Yeah, I think understandably so. Because the Ravens look like the Ravens once again. They do. Defensively, they're getting it done. I love their secondary. They can pressure the quarterback. And we know they can run it. If I have a question about the Bills, a little bit with their run defense, it's going to be a tough game. Love that matchup. Jared Goff is going to get the start. How much is that going to matter? He's got a jacked up digit. He does not play really well. It's a small sample, but he has not done really well in cold weather, even with everything being equal and everything being normal. We know that Aaron Rodgers thrives in cold weather. Then again, you've got that Rams defense. Another great matchup. And you want to be sure to hit me up on Instagram. Follow Instagram. There's some new Rome content that I'm going to push out for you. So follow me on Instagram and look for the new content. Some of you have already found it, but if not, I think you'll like it. Something else to keep in mind. And I do have the big head coming up. Quick reaction. This is addressed to Sweetheart. Sweetheart, we get it. The grind includes Friday. Now keep it down. Everyone is still trying to sleep. Regards, Janet, when Rome's alarm clock goes off at 3:15 a.m.
Sweetheart.
Ashley in Nebraska.
War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones. Ash is definitely following me on Instagram because I did post that picture this morning. Ashley, the thing is, I got to be straight. Yeah, I want it pretty badly. Yes, I'm working pretty hard. Yes, I'm getting my grind on. I don't set the alarm for 3:15 a.m. I'll be really honest about that. I'm going to be transparent with you. If I'm up at 3:15, it's because I woke up at 3:15. I set the alarm early, but not that early. I'm not that guy. I mean, we all want to be a monster. We all want to be a savage. Man, I'm not waking up at 3. Well, I am waking up at 3:15, but not intentionally. The alarm generally goes off in the 4 o'clock hour, not the 3 o'clock hour. I wouldn't do Janet like that. All right, let me do this. Quick timeout to reset, get caught up on the clock, and then we'll roll a few telephone calls.
The clock.
Coming up next hour, Alvy's Week That Was, the Ask the Pros. My thoughts on Tim Tebow letting everybody know that he's not going to Jacksonville. I already told you I like that hire for Jacksonville. I think rolling the dice on Herb is a good move. I think that's a big swing for them. And for Herb, it's a no-brainer. That was the best available job there was. And if that guy's been laying out trying to decide, should I, shouldn't I, should I, shouldn't I, this is the one to wait for, the Jacksonville opportunity. Right now, it's time for a sports update. Here is the very latest on this Friday.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome, halfway through it. It's going to be a big-time weekend. You've got divisional playoff games on Saturday and Sunday. Can't wait. Tremendous Friday. Hey, listen, what you want to do on this Friday for sure, is finish strong. Everybody step it up. We've got an hour and a half to go. I've got a lot of show left, a lot of content left. You want to make sure you finish strong, man. Go hard. Finish strong. You'll enjoy that Friday afternoon so much more. I guarantee it. Still ahead, James Kelly and Big Head Betts. Now, let me just say one more thing about what happened recently. I'm talking about the dust settling. Or maybe I should say the slime settling on Nickelodeon's broadcast of the NFC wildcard game between the Saints and the Bears last weekend. Now, I covered that on the show already, but there's more to it. 95% of the people who watched that loved it. And that's kind of non-scientific, but that's just my sense of it. Like, everybody thought it was cool. Cool and fun and weird and interesting and different and entertaining. Like 95% of the people I saw responding on social media, especially, thought like, wow, man, this is different. This is cool. But then you had that small percentage of dopes and meatheads and purists who were really upset by it. And they failed to see the irony in getting mad at a kids' network for putting kids' spin on a game where a ball is moved around a field for points. Right? I understand that to a lot of you, the NFL is your number one religion in America. I get that, sort of, kind of. I mean, trust me, I love it. I love the NFL. I love the NFL as much as the next person. However, if you can't see how weird it is to get that pissed, to get that angry, to get that worked up over a broadcast that was fun, over a literal game on a kid's network, if you got that fired up about that and you were that insulted by that, you know, maybe you reevaluate not only your approach to sports, but your approach to life. Man, look in the mirror. Sports, fun, games, contests, at least it's supposed to be fun. Oh, and get this. CBS simulcasted the Bears and Saints. So if a bunch of green slime and SpongeBob got you all worked up, you could have easily walked your plate of wings and Bud Light Lime over to the adult table on the other channel. Which brings me to this hilarious aspect, this hilarious angle. As I just mentioned, the Bears and Saints game was broadcast on CBS and Nick simultaneously. Jim Nance and Tony Romo were on CBS. Nate Burleson, Noah Eagle, and Gabby Green were on Nick. Gabby Green is a 15-year-old recording artist who resonates enormously with the Nick audience. She also admits she does not know that much about football. In fact, the game that she was broadcasting was the first game that she has been to, which is fine. In fact, it's better than fine. It was part of the reason why she was there, to represent everybody else in that demo who didn't know that much about football. That was the plan. That way you make it more accessible for everybody and you welcome new fans and new eyes into the game along with her. So you have Nate Burleson and Noah Eagle, and they're explaining a lot of things to her during the broadcast. You know, as a way to talk to the audience and explain it to them as well. Once again, it's by design. So if this is making you that angry that a teenage girl who doesn't know football gets to broadcast a football game, man, go take a lap. Take a walk around the block. Cool down. Remind yourself what we're talking about here. A game on a kids' network. Here's a perfect example of Gabby Green not knowing the game and Nate and Noah explaining it to her on the broadcast.
Thomas Morstead comes on. So Gabby, fourth down, either they're going to kick the ball or they're going to punt it. I think you're going to be impressed with what Morstead does here.
All right, I'm going to keep an eye out. Oh, all the way up in the air.
And that is a fair catch that is made by number 19 in white. That's DeAndre Carter. That means that the ball is going to start right there at the 8-yard line.
All right, now this is why I love that broadcast. Have you ever heard anybody anywhere that fired up by a punt?
Oh.
Now finish that out. What, and why is that so exciting? Because it's up in the air.
Oh, all the way up in the air.
I mean, she is fired up. Like, she's in awe of a punt. When was the last time you were ever as blown away by anything as she was the first time she saw a punt?
Oh, all the way up in the air.
I mean, don't we all remember where we were the first time we saw a punt? No, none of us remember where we were the first time we saw a punt. You know why? As football fans, we hate punts. Yet she thinks it's like the best thing ever. Because she's never seen it before. And again, she was repping a lot of people who were watching on Nick that day. Now, here's where things get really funny. According to the New York Times, 15-year-old Gabby Green, who does not watch football, was sent 800 pages of game notes the week leading up to the broadcast. 800 pages. A freaking phone book of game notes. Now, since she's 15 and her mom handles a lot of her business, her mom emailed a producer and said, quote, hey, what do we need to know from this 800-page packet? End quote. According to the Times, Gabby was told that she would be receiving a one-sheet. You know, like a cheat sheet. A one-sheet with team names, team colors, and some star players. Instead, she gets the Magna Carta of football. Turns out it went to the wrong person. Those 800 pages apparently were meant for Tony Romo, not Gabby Green. So at this point, I'm not sure what I like better. I don't know what I like better. Gabby Green asking for or expecting a one sheet and getting 800 sheets that was supposed to go to Tony Romo, or the fact that Tony Romo has 800 pages of game notes. Absolutely incredible. First of all, give it up to Tony and my fine colleagues on the production staff at CBS. 800 pages? I've done this a long time, right? And I've worked for all these networks. I've worked for CBS. I've worked for Fox. I've worked for ESPN. I know these production packets. I've seen them. I've received them. You know, depending on the show that I do, sometimes I get them, sometimes I don't. I've never seen an 800-page packet. All right, so what's more impressive? Compiling those packets or reading those packets? I'm going to say tie for first. No wonder Nance and Romo are so damn good at their job. I mean, it's because they're so damn talented and they work so damn hard, but they are obviously well prepped. Hey, I've seen this. Like, I don't get those production packets, but because I appear on the NFL Today on CBS, I sit in the production meetings. I know who works on these things. Extremely talented people. Extremely hardworking people. But an 800-page packet is amazing. And I'm sure Gabby thought so when she got it. You imagine, like, hey, Mom, do I have to learn all of this? Aside from the mix-up with the game notes and the one-sheets, the broadcast did extremely well. The one on Nick was watched by over 2 million people, which is almost as many people as pages of Tony's game notes. The only thing that would have made that story better is if Gabby's mom never emailed CBS and she and Gabby tried to learn all those notes. Imagine 15-year-old Gabby in her first football game taking Nate and Noah to school and dropping mad knowledge because she learned the entire packet. Imagine that. Because she read Tony Romo's game notes. How awesome would that have been?
Oh, all the way up in the air.
You imagine like Gabby just going all Tony Romo with it, like predicting every play before it happened perfectly, like nailing everything before it happened. And if, in fact, she studied that whole packet, she probably could have. In the meantime, it is what it is. It was what it was. And it was fun, man. It was awesome. Again, we all hate punts. Nothing against punters. We all hate punts. Listen to how hyped she is on a punt.
Oh, all the way up in the air.
Man, I can't wait until she sees her first recovered onside kick. Wait till she sees a fair catch. All the way up in the air. All the way up in the air is one of my favorite reactions to a play on any field. Oh! Was that encroachment? You know who'd love her? My guy, Pat McAfee. You want to talk about for the brand, Pat. You want to talk about for the brand. Have you ever heard anybody as hyped up on a punt? Pat, my guy, I think she likes punts even more than you.
Oh, all the way up in the air.
Let's check out the reaction really quickly. Yeah, it's Squirrel 2. 800 pages of notes? That's my intro. Yours, DA's smack-off script. Hey, Rome, you don't like the slime? Turn off your station. Regards, Nickelodeon.
You have a problem? Turn off your station.
Denny in the 402. Chris in St. Pete, quote, if Gabby is excited for a punt, just wait until she sees two rainbows at the same time.
Whoa.
Freaking tears.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Woo. Oh, my. Wow. Oh, my God, look at that.
What do you think would happen if somebody punted a ball all the way up in the air over a double rainbow? It would sound like this.
Oh, oh my God. Oh.
Oh.
Oh, God. It's so bright.
All the way up in the air.
Oh, my God, it's so bright and vivid.
Oh.
Oh.
That could be construed as something else, but no, what that was the sound of somebody punting a ball all the way up in the air over a double rainbow. And don't any of you dopes twist this up. I love her reaction to that. Gabby rules. I love her reaction to that. All the way up in the air.
All the way
awesome.
Up in the air.
All right, then, let's go. I promised phone calls. Let's get phone calls. We go to Albuquerque, New Mexico. R-E-X in the A-B-Q. Hello, Rex.
Hey, Jim. I also have 800 pages of notes signed the Cheesecake Factory menu. Also, in regard to Herb, I get that he's won everywhere. Every other coach that's made the jump has, but this is going to end up like everything else, a disaster. And he's going to end up circling the bowl just like me squeezing out a dwarf after my morning coffee.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Rex, it always starts off so well. I always have such high hopes for you. I always think that you're going to turn over a new leaf or turn the corner. I never, ever expect your calls to end like that with you squeezing something out or it's circling a bowl. Wow, knock me over with a feather. No way did that happen. Rex, dude, I mean, you're capable of such good takes. You can make this show so much better. Wouldn't you rather do that, Rex? Wouldn't you rather make my talk show better and my life better than to say really juvenile, sophomoric things like that that fire up like three people on the internet? As far as the Cheesecake Factory, first of all, Rex, it's more like 1,000 pages. I mean, I wonder, like, you know how it is when you order anything online or you order a delivery service, when you look at menus now, everything's pared down. Like, you can't get what you used to get with restaurants. I wonder if the Cheesecake Factory's done that at all. I wonder if they pared that menu down from 1,000 pages to, like, 700. Yeah, you know what I want? I want to have meatloaf, Korean barbecue, taco salad. I would like some sushi. I need an egg roll. I need a barbecue chicken pizza. I need some chicken noodle soup. I need a peanut butter and chocolate chip cheesecake. Can I get some nachos too, please? The super nachos would be great. And a cheesecake, a pumpkin cheesecake. And can I get one of those peanut butter cheesecakes? Here's a pager. Wait 4 weeks and